Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So this is not, I mean, we've lazily called it a Nikki Haley voter. It's not a Nikki Haley voter. It's an anti-Trump voter. And that's very important. That distinction is really, really important because we're trying to gauge the true sentiment of why they're breaking off. They're not voting for Nikki Haley. They were never voting for Nikki Haley.
Right.
They were voting against Donald Trump.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that is important. It's really, 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 really important for messaging. Okay. So that what I'm gauging, what I'm looking for is the math that says how many Republicans are just anti-Trump and then why? Okay. And the why then becomes very important. There were three pieces of information that we did not have heading into November 2020. The big lie, Donald Trump lying with elections, January 6th, mm-hmm. and the Dobbs decision.
Yep.
All three of those are incredibly powerful motivators for Republicans to bail on this guy, and they all happened after the 2020 election, okay? So what we have also seen, if you even watch sort of anecdotal evidence or like kind of watch some of these groups putting out ads of like the local person saying, I'm against, this is why I'm not voting for Trump, I can't do it again, 99% of them say one of those three things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not saying, I felt comfortable because Dick Cheney came out, right? So the permission structure is important, but it's not the primary lead of why people are leaving.
Right.
And 30 days out, it's great to kind of show momentum. It's kind of like the yard signs. It's a good sign in your community. There's yard signs coming out. People are showing momentum, but the yard sign itself is not convincing people. What is convincing people is those three messages. And if Harris wants to close a record number of Republicans, they've got to hit those issues and those messages more than they need to put the messengers out front of it. They both help, don't get me wrong, but messengers alone aren't going to carry the day. It's those three reasons that have gotten us to this unprecedented potentiality of losing upwards of 10% of Republicans. And if Harris peels off 10%, she will be the next president of the United States.
Okay, so let's talk about the people that, because that gets us right into what you have written, by the way, folks. It's a great new book out, The Latino Century. That Mike and I were laughing when he came up with the title. We were talking. He said, I have this title, and I'm calling the book The Latino Century. And I said, oh, yeah, that's going to thrill some people. That's going to make some people go, that's the problem.
Right.
But the book goes on. The title really kind of reflects the story that you want to get into, and that is how America's largest minority is transforming democracy. Yeah. And we're seeing it in so many quarters of the country that unfortunately for a lot of white Americans, and again, I'm not painting with a broad brush. Y'all know who I'm talking about. That there's that neighbor down the street that when you walk by the house, you just shake your head, right? Yeah. When you see them in the grocery store, you go, my God, they're so bad, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the folks I'm talking about who have this sort of idealized view of an America that never existed. A 1950s, brand new television, expectation, a father knows best, and folks like that living in a suburbia with the wife in the apron. That America never existed, and a lot of folks know that. What people also know is what you get into is how much even then the country was changing. And it wasn't just with this with the white immigrants who'd come at the turn of the 20th century, at the 19th century to the 20th century, but what had happened and what was beginning to happen as more and more folks in places like Cuba and Puerto Rico and elsewhere got a greater affinity, started calling America home, started raising their families and creating a legacy. And that part of the story, I think, is going to be is a big X factor in this election because the Latino vote, like the Black vote, is not monolithic. Mm-hmm. It's culturally as well as politically diverse within what was arguably the broader Latino community. Talk a little bit about how those changes impact a race like this?
Brother, you just wrote my whole book. look, and this is why I love having conversations with you, is because the nuances and the understanding of people who come as, you know, men of color who've come up in with our own different experiences. You're on the East Coast, me on the West Coast, black, brown guys, just coming up in the Republican Party and knowing what those nuances are, yeah, and speaking the same language and not even have to say the words, but knowing what you're talking about.
Right. Right.
It's magic for me. So I appreciate you more than you know, because it's been a very lonely road in so many ways. And I know that you, yeah, as the chairman of the party, I mean, you got to the pinnacle of this whole thing. So look, America is changing, and it's going to change the way we look at everything. It's going to change the way Latinos view themselves, black people view themselves, white people for sure view themselves. A lot of this change that we're witnessing is frankly this kind of regression of white people to behaving like this aggrieved racial minority they always blamed, mm-hmm, everybody else for being, right?
Right.
And you're seeing it in the entitlement that, you know, Donald Trump comes out with, as we're entitled to this. This is our birthright. This is our country. You know, government largesse should be going to our tribe and to our people. And that's okay when it goes to our people, but it's well-earned handouts when it's everybody else. And that's why they're coming here illegally, is to get all this money and all of these racist tropes. And that's really what it is. It's just, we can't get past that. We are going through, I think, this very tumultuous time demographically, and America is becoming, for the first time in her history, a non-white European people.
Yeah.
That's serious business.
It's serious business.
There goes the neighborhood, except in the country, right?
Well, there's a lot tied up into that. There's a lot of money tied up in it. Power.
Yes. Land. Keep going. Yes. All of it is tied up.
All of it.
It's the whole conceptualization of what America is, and what it was supposed to be, what it was meant to be, what it was promised to be. And we've always had this like mythical, anybody can come to America and be American. And, you know, black people are going, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Right. And so it's challenging this whole idea of the founding credos of all of us are endowed by our creator. Right. Because we say this, and we've had this mythology about it, and it's easy when you're an 85% white country, but suddenly, after 250 years of that, when you're becoming less than 50% white, it's like, well, wait a second, we didn't really mean all of that, right? Like, what do we really mean, right? Can America be an America if it's not a white Christian nation? And that is so much of the struggle that we're going through, because we are going through this incredible technological change and economic change. But the most visible every day that we see is the complexion of our country is changing, and that's the easiest way to relate to it, and politicians will take advantage of that. What's changing, though, what's transforming, and this, by the way, as you know better than anybody, is a lot of these shifts are happening beyond just Latinos.
Yes.
It's happening with African-American men, maybe not as much, maybe it's little. I'm not an expert. I don't know, but I know that it's happening. The New York Times did a phenomenal analysis after the 2020 election, showing that in every single immigrant dense precinct in the country, everyone, there was a rightward shift. So it's not even just a black and brown thing. It's like an Asian thing. It's like, it's an everything thing. And what that tells us very clearly is the class separation is gotten out of control now. It's like beyond the Gilded Age, right? And our oligarchs are like Elon Musk and Peter Thiel. They're acting like populists, and they're acting like men of the people, Donald Trump. But they're the ones that are fueling this sort of this class rage, and it's got direct correlations to the race and ethnic tensions in the country, any one of which would be very, very difficult to handle. But they're both crashing on our shores at the same time. And so it's really, really hard for us to find any sense of commonality right now.
You did it was interesting. There was a Washington Post article that actually commented on some of what you've written and what you said. It said, quote, Madrid criticizes the GOP as the biggest purveyor of identity politics in America for its anti-immigrant appeals to its sometimes bigoted base. If Republicans abandon nativism and stress tax cuts, he argues, they could regain power in Washington. Democrats, conversely, need to drop the denial about Latinos' rightward drift and frame an economic message to appeal to a Latino voting base that isn't wedded to the Democrats. And that is the strength of the Latino community right now, is that is something that we've struggled with in the Black community after a long time giving ourselves over in the first instance to Republicans.
Correct.
And that didn't turn out. And then giving ourselves over to the Democrats in the 1960s. And what we got was the Great Society. And a lot of people like, but now I'm just living in a tenement and I still don't have a job. Right. So that you have that. And so now, but Latinos in coming to the country, let's keep in mind, Latinos have been coming to America, folks, for a long time. All right. Mm-hmm. They just didn't start showing up 2 months ago.
They were
as much a part of helping to build the country as a whole lot of other folks that we know from Asia and elsewhere.
Right.
But the reality of it is people don't understand that part of the Latino history.
Right.
Your book asks the question of whether the first, you know, the rise of Latinos, put it that way, the rise of Latinos will inflame or begin to control and dissipate this partisan tribalism. What we're seeing, though, is to the point you just made, it's seemingly the partisans want to pull Latinos into the partisan tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
Because the grift and the political advantage over the Democrats, in their mm-hmm. view, mm-hmm. is far greater than the respect for the legacy, the history, and the aspirations of the very people. So you trap them the way other communities have been trapped into a lot of promises for shit they ain't gonna get.
Mm-hmm. Again, Manny, I'm glad I wrote the book before you did. That's exactly right. I mean, look, yeah, and that's exactly it. And what is happening is a lot of this I explain is kind of demographic.
Right.
When I was doing work on Latino stuff for George W. Bush in 2000, 2004, we were getting high 30s, mid 40s support levels. But back then, remember, this is 25 years ago, Latinos were a much more recently migrated voting bloc. There was a lot of naturalized citizens.
Right.
The dramatic explosion that's happening now, over 80% are U.S. born. Mm-hmm. So, and they're very young. It's like a huge tidal wave that's coming. These are not migrants themselves. In many cases, it was either their parents or their grandparents. And so they're not as sensitive to that issue. And Democrats have been speaking to them as basically as aggrieved immigrant communities. And we have a deep reverence for our migrants. There's no question about that. But at the same time, we also have this immediate economic crisis that is facing a lot of working class people right now that is very real.
Right.
And the polling has been telling us overwhelmingly for three decades, Michael, for 30 years, it's economic issues that they want to hear about. And then when the Democrats hear that, they'll be like, yeah, I understand that, but he wants to put your kids in cages.
Right,
and it's like, right. I hear you and I get that, but I don't have the luxury of worrying about that right now because my kids are hungry tonight.
Right.
Right. Like I got mouths to feed now and rent is due on Friday.
Right. You exactly. Talk
to me
about
politics, bring that to me. Like that's what I have the capacity to worry about. And that is part of this broader class shift as the Democrats have consolidated college-educated voters, overwhelmingly white. The Republicans have consolidated non-college voters, overwhelmingly Black and brown. And so now we've got these parties isolated by culture, diploma divide, class divide, and racial and ethnic correlation is all pulling the country in very different political directions. And one of the great ironies of this moment, and I think, again, you and I are going to have a bottle of wine and talk about this after November when we win.
Yes.
Is the fact that the Republican Party has become far more diverse under Donald Trump than at any time since the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Like, that's crazy talk. But it's happening. It's happening because of the things that you and I built our careers on, which was, let's talk about economic opportunity and economic issues foundationally first and foremost, because if we can address economic issues, then we can better address our race issue.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.